Welcome to Popcorn and Podcasting.
Welcome back to another episode of Popcorn and Podcasting with Jenny and Chaz.
Hi. We have popcorn this time.
Yes. And I forgot the trivia question from last time.
Oh.
We'll pause for a minute while we figure out what the trivia question was. Wow, that's some sad music. That makes one want to go mope.
Okay.
You want to go mope with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about the podcast?
Oh, yeah, we better finish that first. So our trivia question was...
Name five popular LDS musicians.
And did we say you can't count the ones that we...
That
we gave you. Those don't count. Which means we got to come up with five. Okay, so there is Stephen Cap Perry.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. Did I say Paul Cardall? Yeah, we got that. Never mind. No.
We're giving you five here. More? Okay.
Well, you already had your chance to answer.
Isn't there it's Payne? A guy's whose last name is Payne. Jason Payne?
Thomas Payne? No. It was Thomas Payne. Wasn't he that reformer or something? I don't know. Anyway. We'll think of them throughout the podcast.
Okay.
And blurt them out at random times. And okay. Well, I know one. Oh, it's on there. Never mind. Okay.
We'll have to keep that up to make sure.
We've got another talk. This one from a decade earlier than the last one. This one's from 1974. I think we're reading the old ones because
they were the only ones we could find.
Well, that and and all the new stuff is like broadcast on YouTube and it's everywhere, you know. But the old stuff.
Well, and one thing about doing the old stuff, too, is that like I was saying earlier, or I was thinking earlier, that music has probably gotten worse than it was in 74.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the morality of the music has slid down even further than it was in 74. I mean, I don't have any proof of that, but, you know, chances are pretty good that the music is worse.
So you can pretty much figure whatever they say, more
exaggerate so. Everything we say.
More so. Okay, so this is by Larry Bastian, called Popular Music Guidelines. As a parent or leader, what should you know about today's music? In December of 1970, the first presidency stated, through music, man's ability to express himself. That's a new word.
Make up new words here.
I think I even left the H out. Himself. Awkward silence. Awkward. Okay. Through music, man's ability to express himself extends beyond the limits of the spoken language in both subtlety and power. Music can be used to exalt and inspire or to carry messages of degradation and destruction. It is therefore important that as Latter-day Saints, we at all times apply the principles of the gospel and seek the guidance of the Spirit in selecting the music with which we surround ourselves.
That's a great point. Seek the guidance of the Spirit when you're thinking about what music you should listen to and stuff, because, you know, He's not going to let you down. He's not going to, you know, unless you tell Him not to tell you, He'll tell you.
And you could certainly drown out His voice by saying, oh, I know this is good enough. I know this is good enough. I'm not listening. That usually means that you're actually...
Yeah.
Very wrong.
Well, you know, and one guideline that I use with myself, and not even with just music, but with anything, if there's any doubt in my mind, you know, if I'm feeling, oh, maybe this isn't the greatest, but it's not that bad, you know, if I'm doing any of that kind of rationalizing in my mind, then it's bad.
Yeah, and then
I'm
there's
trying
always that.
I've been trying for a long time to train my mind, you know, to when it's doing that, then, you know, just turn it around and say, no, because you're thinking about it this way, just, you know, it just
tells you right there. Yeah. And you can think of it two other ways that would you listen to it with the Savior? And sometimes that's kind of hard to determine because, you know, if the Savior was there, you'd want hymns on, you know, or something. But what about your 3-year-old or your 4-year-old? If they understood the music as well as you did, would you want them to listen to it? And if your answer is no, then...
don't listen to it.
You know, humble yourself like a child. And okay. Your turn.
It's like we were saying in our last podcast. Some of our favorite music growing up was the music our parents listened to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Elder Boyd K. Packer re-emphasized that position when he spoke about the influence of music during the October 1973 General Conference of the Church. He forcefully pointed out the need for youth to be particularly selective in choosing which popular music to listen to. Most will agree that popular music has a significant influence on the lives of young people, and it is the responsibility of priesthood leaders of youth to teach them to use good judgment in this area.
To begin with, however, there must be an atmosphere of mutual interest and understanding. Some leaders, having little knowledge of popular music, hesitate trying to discuss it in any more than a superficial way. How can we best prepare to communicate effectively about popular music? First of all, we need to understand something about popular music and why young people are attracted to it. If we condemn a musical presentation for being incompatible with the gospel, we should be able to say why we believe it is incompatible. I think I said it right the first time. Mm-hmm. Incompatible. Then teach the principles that will help those who made the selection improve their judgment. Mm-hmm. We must, therefore, make the effort to become acquainted with popular music.
And that's a much better way to say it than just being like, what's that noise you're listening to? You know, that's offensive. That's, you know, rude.
They'll just turn you off.
Yeah, you know, but if you say, are you listening to those lyrics? It sounds like it's talking about drugs to me.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe they'll be like, oh, I never noticed. I guess, okay. And then they'll change it. Kind of grudgingly, but not in the defensive way as much, but more in, they probably knew it, but they were just kind of overlooking
it. Yeah, if you're offensive or rude when you're trying to help someone, they're just going to tune you out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, sorry, like the anti-Mormons that you see all over the internet that claim they're trying to help us brainwashed Mormons.
But then say the most offensive things that you can imagine.
Yeah, I'm like, how are you, we're not going to even listen to you if you are rude and offensive
call us
to
us. Brainwashed and...
Yeah, just and calling us brainwashed
insult everything
offensive.
That we hold dear, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I see that all the time on the internet. I'm like, good luck getting anybody but other anti-Mormons to listen to you.
It's your turn.
Okay. Where are we? Okay. The effort to become acquainted probably will require some patient listening and evaluating. This is where the youth can help. From them, we can learn what they like and why, how it sounds, and what the lyrics are saying. This task should be approached with an open mind, and we should try to listen through their ears. Along the way, we may find some surprising rewards, because a good deal of contemporary popular music is commendable. That's very, very true.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes just listening to a new style that you may have thought was not your thing or was too trendy for you, you may listen to it and find, wow, this is beautiful music.
Yeah. You know? I mean, they're so long. I went for such a long time, you know, shunning Bare Naked Ladies just because of the title.
Me too.
Just because of the name of their group. Man. But they actually have some pretty good songs. I like a lot of their songs. You know? I wish they would change the name of their group, but...
Why don't they just call themselves, like, the Harry Otters or something, you know? I mean,
maybe we should send them an email and and suggest that. Some new names for their group. Okay, anyway. As leaders, we should try to remember how we felt about our music when we were young. Most of us can recall a time in our lives when the latest craze in popular music was important to us, and when we thought it sounded youthful, sophisticated, and exciting. To be accepted as part of the teenage society required at least some acquaintance with current music fads. This was also true with the latest dance steps, clothing styles, and language expressions. Our parents probably thought the music was rather silly and not worthy of much attention, but it nonetheless seemed important to us at the time.
Oh.
I can keep going. I was just trying to think of something to say about it.
No, it's one of those things where you're just like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's just cool.
It's cool to realize, you know, that, I mean, it's good for parents and leaders and adults to realize that, you know, that it's important.
To that kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. As time went by, other interests gradually replaced our fascination with popular music, and we forgot how important it was, once was. Now, only a generation or two later, we look askance at our children's captivation with this week's top 40 hits.
Okay. To the young people of today, their music also seems youthful, sophisticated, and exciting. Through it, they are able to identify and communicate with their society. It provides a common experience to which each can respond. Their friends expect them to be familiar with it. They hear it everywhere they go. As we talk with youthful members of the church, we must not discount the seriousness of this issue. Why, then, should today's popular music be of any more concern than the music of two or three decades ago? For one thing, society has undergone a subtle but powerful change. It has become increasingly more permissive in...
Remember to exaggerate this in your mind.
Yes. It is becoming extremely more permissive in what it will accept in its popular entertainment, including movies, television, books and magazines, the theater, and of course music. The philosophies of the world are being promoted more blatantly and more persuasively than ever before.
For example, the moral standards of some of today's affluent, worldly youth seem to be expressed in the code of conduct. It's perfectly all right to do anything at all as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. Not true.
That's one of the philosophies that drives me crazy more than any other, because that's like, I don't know, that's just so blind.
Yeah, and it's
so blind.
And lots of times it ignores emotional hurt, or, you know, or psychological hurt. You know, people think it's fine to do this, as, you know, as long as I'm not physically hurting anybody. But every action you take has an effect on other people. And often it's an emotional effect that you don't even know about.
And also, that whole approach is incredibly egocentric. I've got to be completely, got the blinders over me completely if I think that damaging myself is not going to hurt anybody else. You know, if I damage myself, I hurt my wife, I hurt my kids, I hurt my coworkers, I hurt my job, I hurt my education, I hurt everything in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm basically a walking injury to anyone around me. And if you're going around with lowering morals that are going down, everywhere you go, you're going to be pulling morals down. Now, of course, there will be those who are too strong. And we'll resist that, and that's good. But You don't want to be on that side of things, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to be the one pulling people down.
Yeah.
You want to be the one pulling them up.
And it's one thing to be weak in something, you know, to say, I'm working on it, I really want to be better at this. And it's another thing to defend the wrong things. That's mm-hmm. just, that's, you know, that's the devil's way.
This philosophy is evident in all forms of contemporary entertainment. Through popular music, we have seen advocated adventures with drugs, abandonment of moral standards, resistance to authority, and inability to restrain passions and self-desires. Uh-huh. So many people seem to have the idea that you can only go so long.
So far.
You can only go so long being abstinent.
Oh,
once
yeah.
once you reach a certain age, if you haven't had sex, then you're going to. And you're just, that's, I don't know. That's,
it's inevitable.
It's so frustrating that the world thinks that way, but.
That's like but saying.
I see that all over the place.
That's like saying if you go hiking once a year, you're eventually going to fall off a cliff. There's nothing you can do about it. You just got to, you know. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Sorry, I keep getting distracted. Okay, yeah, inability to restrain passions and selfish desires. That's what made me think of that. Mm-hmm. Although most young people probably don't live by this standard, trends during the last few years demonstrate that this idea is gaining wider acceptance all the time.
And anybody who thinks that their music is not having a powerful effect on their spirit, just think about how you feel when you listen to it. It's very powerful. I know that music is incredibly powerful emotionally and psychologically. And if you think that it's not hurting you because it feels good, then you're going to be getting yourself into terrible danger. If you're
just because it feels good.
If something feels good but is not good, then
that's the most damaging.
That's the most damaging of all. Be better to feel good and sound horrible. I mean, wait. It'd be better to sound horrible and feel horrible if it's horrible.
If it is horrible, yeah.
Then but, you just turn it off.
There are so many great musicians out there. They're awesome musicians, but their intent.
They weave the in their yeah. intent. Some
their intent is
stuff.
not good.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. However, it is important and heartening to note that not all popular music, even so-called rock music, promotes this permissive philosophy. Many popular performers consistently produce records that convey optimism and Christian moral values. Our object as leaders should be to teach the youth to select the good and reject the bad. When they do so out of choice, we will know we have succeeded. Another difference between some of the popular music and the music of earlier generations is the emotional and rhythmic intensity generated by the performers, and the loudness, at which it is presented. You hear our neighbor's dog out there. Should I call back to him? Let's see. Intensity and loudness affect both the degree and quality of the emotional responses of the listeners, and some kinds of this emotional response produce negative effects on spiritual development.
How does one learn to select the best popular music? I like that word "learn" in there, because it really is a process. We don't, you know, with the day you're born, automatically know what good music is and what bad music is. You learn that, and as you grow up and get older, especially through your teenage years, it's really important to learn how to pick the best music and to learn what's good and what's bad. And it's a process, and it will probably take your entire growing up teenage years.
And sometimes it's helpful to know, to recognize too, that sometimes it's not about, is this station good? Is mm-hmm. this particular band good?
Yeah, because there are lots of bands that have
fabulous, wonderful, uplifting songs, but then one that's just
garbage,
trash, you know? And if you think, well, this band is good, though, you know, they do good songs, then you just can't.
You have to learn to judge every song by itself.
And that is a lot easier to do in today's world where music is more individually based rather than album based.
Yeah. Okay, so how do we learn? The answer to this question lies in what a song says, what a performance implies, and what kind of response is elicited. Mm-hmm. It's quite easy to evaluate the explicit message of a song by listening to the words. And one tool that I've found, if you do a Google search of the title of the song and lyrics, the word lyrics, you can find the lyrics to almost any song
out there, yeah.
Yeah. So if you are having a hard time hearing the words or not quite sure what the words are, Google them. You'll find them.
Yep.
And that will help you judge and help you learn how
to recognize the words to a song.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If moral misconduct, the use of drugs, Satan worship, rejection of legal authority, or any act or attitude contrary to the gospel is advocated, the song should not be used. For example, Jesus Christ Superstar was found to be unacceptable because its doctrine is incorrect.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of a song there's a friend on Facebook that posted it up, posted a video up, I mean, and it was a YouTube video. It was in another language, but had the subtitles there to the song. It was a kid of, like, maybe 12 years old. Fabulous singer. Beautiful voice. And great band. Basically advocating gay lifestyle.
Yeah, I remember that. Like, the words lifestyle. To the song were like, I have two dads,
and that's okay. Yeah. And that's good. You know, and
yeah.
Don't think less of them because of this, and you know, that's not a matter of tolerance as much as it is advocating something that is against the principles that we know are essential to our eternal life. You know, you got to be really careful about stuff like that.
Yeah,
that it makes me think of the Temple Recommend question that basically says, "Do you support any?" Group that whose ideas are contrary to the gospel. That's a Temple Recommend question. If you're supporting things that
are contrary
to the gospel, or supporting, you better change.
Yeah, or supporting groups that are. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if it's, you know, just by your blog entries or your comments in different places on the internet. I don't know, whatever. Okay.
The internet makes it a lot easier to support things.
Anonymously, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not anonymous to the Lord. He knows. Okay. And to ourselves, which is probably the bigger aspect of it. Okay. The second part of the selection process requires that we evaluate the intent of the performance. Unfortunately, it is possible to make even an innocent song appear dirty or evil by the way it is presented. If the intent of the performance is to agitate a negative emotion or to convey an unrighteous desire, even though the message may not be explicitly detailed in words, the work should obviously not be used. Some artists of superstar status must be passed by because of their reputations for improper intent in their performance. Very true.
And that's when, you know, we were just saying, you know, don't judge by the whole band, judge song by song. But if you discover that a certain group or a certain performer,
if they're performing immoral acts in their performance of that good song,
yeah, then
that's, they have corrupted their song.
Yeah. And one thing, too, is, you know, it's better to avoid the band, you know, mm-hmm. if you know...
Err on the side of
caution, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, better than, you know, better to always approach any song with caution.
Yeah. Than to approach it with trust from the beginning.
Yeah. Even if you have a friend on Facebook that says, listen to this great song.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take their word for it.
Yeah.
No matter how much you trust them.
Yeah.
You've got to judge for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Dress, grooming, and body gestures of performers can convey improper intent, as can a vocal style that intimates more than a song lyric says, or a style that is uncontrolled and animalistic.
Mm.
Interesting. Body gestures is big.
The remaining factor is concerned with a combination of loudness, rhythm, which is beat, tempo, the emotional fervor of the performers, and other elements. The combination is called intensity. The intensity of a musical performance is what affects the responses of those listening to it, probably more than other factors. When a performer is very intense, the listener may become emotionally overwhelmed, his thoughts carried away by the music. This effect can be positive, as one may perhaps experience when hearing a rousing performance of the Alleluia chorus, or it can be detrimental, as when improper thoughts and emotions are inspired. Or conspired.
When this happens, the intensity of the music may be reduced by lowering the volume, or by changing the beat, tempo, or the performer's emotional fervor. Often, lowering the volume reduces most of the problem. That's interesting. Mm,
interesting.
So one song can be, a song that you shouldn't listen to when it's loud.
Mm,
I've never thought of that before.
Yeah.
But fine when it's at a reasonable volume.
Mm-hmm.
Often lowering the volume reduces most of the problem. For example, at moderate loudness, the fast Dixieland style, I'm not sure I know what that is, of music, to which... Okay, the fast Dixieland style of music to which one would dance the Charleston, now I know what it is, is unoffensive to most people. When the same music is played at top volume, however, the effect of the beat and tempo are markedly different.
Mm. That may even take it beyond what was intended by the artist.
Mm.
Many young people have been concerned... Oh, sorry. Many young people have been conditioned to desire the effect of being overwhelmed by a surge of rock music-inspired emotion.
Mm.
Such seems to be the objective of many public youth dances and rock concerts.
That's interesting. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go. I'm just...
The challenge then becomes to find a way to teach young people when to use moderation. To assist, a series of articles about popular music is being prepared for the new era. These articles hopefully will be useful in discussions between youth and priesthood leaders in family home evenings. Those who wish to develop more understanding of current popular music should read these articles. I wonder if we have access to them.
I imagine. Okay, as we engage in a dialogue with our young people, we must be understanding and look at the issue from their point of view. But it is also important to be forthright and not compromise principles of righteousness. As Elder Packer said in his general conference talk, it is not the privilege of those called as leaders to slide the church about as though it were on casters, hoping to put it into the path that men or youth seem already to be traveling.
Mm-hmm.
The task will not be easy. Sustained effort and patience will be required. Each new generation of young people will need similar guidance. Yeah, it will start all over again with each generation.
Yep.
Because the music's always changing.
Which is why the principles taught are so important, being taught are so important, and not just that music is bad, that one's bad, that one's bad.
We can't just provide our children and our youth with a list of good music and bad music.
Yeah.
It doesn't work because
there will be more music
created. Yeah.
But they learn these principles and know, you know, for example, that intensity issue, you know, that's something they'll...
And then...
They can apply to all their music.
And then if they learn the principles and apply them in their lives, they'll probably teach those principles to their children and their youth and, you know, and it will just continue on.
Yeah.
That way.
Someone has said, the test of a man's character is what he would do if he knew no one would find out. So it is with youth and popular music. I like that quote.
Uh-huh.
What do you do if you, or what would you do if you knew no one would ever find out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a great test of character. So it is with youth and popular music. We may control and improve our church-sponsored dances, and we may remove objectionable music from our homes, but we will have been really successful only when our young people make the best choices because they want to.
Mm-hmm.
The responsibility is clear. The Lord will help us fulfill it. Our youth will accept counsel that they can understand. We can teach them if we will, and we must. Very good talk.
That's cool. I like that. Yeah. You will only be successful when people make the best choices because they want to.
Mm-hmm.
That applies to anything. I mean,
when you know that teaching has really happened.
I read a news article about drunk driving the other day, and someone commented that, you know, the only way to solve drunk driving is to get rid of alcohol altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you know.
You're like, well, that would.
I was like, that would work.
Take care of it for a year or two, maybe, but.
That would work temporarily, but the real solution to drunk driving is to have people choose not to.
Of their own choice. Yeah. Yep, very true. And once they choose it for themselves, no worries, you know. Mm-hmm. When it comes to music, they're taken care of. Because they'll have the Spirit to guide them. And that's even better than your
constant music. That's the hardest. It's that decision to be like, okay, I'm going to take a hard look at my music. Yeah. And I need to
evaluate.
Yeah, that's the hardest part.
Yep. And once they do that, if they really do it sincerely, they'll start realizing, maybe I need to modify a few things.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, acting on it, it will strengthen them to be able to act further on it and get rid of music that they maybe wouldn't have first thought to and so forth. So.
The end of another long podcast.
Yes. And for our trivia today... We do something totally random again. We do...
Name something that happened in 1974.
There you go. Something that happened in 1974.
That should be pretty easy.
I think everybody can come up with something. So everybody comment or send us an
email. That will give us perspective for this article.
Yes.
Or for this. Yeah.
And also, if you find articles or hear things that apply to these subjects that we're talking to, please let us know about them. We'd love to read them. We're not...
And we love
have an
comments.
Open script.
If you... I mean, I don't think we have very many listeners. You know, at least we don't have many that comment. And so if you do comment with any suggestions to us, anything you don't like about our podcast, we'll probably do it because... You're going to be the only one.
Yeah. You're a very strong influence on us.
You won't be outvoted.
You won't.
You know, if you comment.
And you won't be blasted either.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're like, you know, I think we have like maybe 2 listeners.
Yeah. And we're glad we have those listeners.
Yes. Thanks you guys. Thanks for listening. And comment away. We won't be offended. We promise.
Yep.
Because we want to make the podcast better for you.
Yep. Oh, and which reminds me, Alan asked what our next series is going to be on.
Oh, yeah.
And our next one, unless we are wildly outvoted by listeners, our two listeners.
Which means you only need two.
then we'll probably do it on the second coming. Both the preparation for the second coming, signs of the second coming, and the millennial era, and so forth.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited about that. But it will be a ways in the future, because we've only gotten partway into music, and we got to cover music, art, and media, which will include internet and TV and all that stuff.
Painting.
Great stuff. Painting. Painting Sculpting. Your house. And no. So, once again, thanks for listening.
Bye.